If you have your Bible, Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter 22. Bible says in verse number 1, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan unto Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how they might betray him unto them. And they were glad and coveted with to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he said unto Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye enter into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down with his disciples with him. And he said unto him, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of vine until the kingdom of God shall come." I want to preach this morning, if God will be our help, on the Passover, a celebration of deliverance. The Passover, a celebration of deliverance. Now we see here in the book of Luke, and Dr. Luke was a physician, and he's writing on the specifics of this Passover that's come. And the Passover, praise God, we know that it's tied to the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one that would pay the price for us. Now, if you want to just hold there this morning, turn to the book of Exodus, chapter number 12. I want to just share some things with you this morning, and we'll kind of be going and jumping back and forth from Exodus 12 into Luke 22. But I just want to look at this morning for a few minutes, and we see that the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter number 12 and verse number 11, he said, "And thus shall you eat it," talking about that lamb, "with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." So they said, you need to eat it, but you need to be ready to move. Amen. Praise God. He said, you can partake of the Passover. He said, and when you partake of it, he said, you need to be partaking of it, ready to move. I say, we better be ready to move today. We better be ready to move forward for the cause of Christ. There's no place for us to hang out around here. Praise God. We got to be about the Father's business. That's what the Lord said when he was here. And that's what our objective ought to be today, to be about the Father's business. Amen. Praise God. Because that Passover was offered. That lamb was slain for the people. But we see how this plays out in Luke chapter 22. And we see these unbelievers, praise God. We see Judas, and we see these religionist people, if you will, unbelieving religionists. They knew, praise God, the truth. And now let me just clear something this morning. The Pharisees and the scribes, they knew every aspect of the law. Amen. They knew every aspect of law. I mean, every dotting the I and the crossing of the T, they had it down pat to the very letter. They knew exactly what the law said. They knew exactly what God had promised. They knew what was taking place. They knew what was to transpire because the Word of God. They knew it in their minds. Intellectually, they had all the knowledge that they need to receive their Messiah, to receive the Savior when He comes. Amen. They had it all, but they refused to acknowledge Him even when He came. So they went into this thing with their eyes wide open, and they used deceit to get their way. See, it was a power play. Amen. If anybody come up, anybody had authority, then they would lose their power. So it was a power play, and they used deceit, amen, to maintain that power. And the only reason they didn't go ahead and just do what they wanted to do is because the Bible says here that they feared the people. Because people had enough sense, praise God, to realize that they was something to this man called Jesus. Hello? I want to say this morning, praise God, I hope you got enough sense to realize that they something to this man called Jesus. He's one of the most amazing people that's ever lived this side of eternity. Praise God, he came from heaven. He was born of a virgin. He lived a life. He died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and mine. So we see these unbelievers, praise God, at this Passover. We see these unbelievers, these religionists, and we see Satan. Satan was going to use somebody here. He said, then Satan entered into Judas, in verse number 3, named Iscariot. And they said, being of the number of the 12. So Judas was going to use an available disciple. Let that soak in just a minute. Satan was going to use an available disciple. He was counted as one of the 12. Amen. And Satan was going to use him. I don't know about you. I don't want to be used of the devil. Amen? I do not want to be used of the devil. I don't want to be playing on the devil's side. Do you? So what we got to do, we got to decide whose side we're on. See what happened? The problem with Judas Iscariot, he couldn't decide which side he was on. Amen? He was trying to play both sides. He was trying to be friends with the religionists. He was trying to be friends with and pacify the church crowd. And he was trying to walk with Jesus too. I want to say, hey, it don't always work that way. Now it would if the church crowd was the way they ought to be. Amen? If they were born again believers, trust Lord Jesus Christ and seeking to bring honor and glory to His name and that only. To lift up our Savior and praise Him for His goodness. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. The reason we don't see a drawing today is praise we're not lifting Jesus up everywhere that we go. That the whole body of believers, praise God, ain't come together one mind and one accord like at Pentecost and praising God and lifting Him up and looking for a touch of heaven, praise the Lord, to come down upon us and bless us just because He can. God's wanting to bless us today. He's wanting to bless you. He's wanting to bless me. He's wanting to use us if we will. But I want to say today, Satan wants to too. One thing about it is I already mentioned Sunday school. Satan's not omnipresent. Well, shit, Pastor Jeff, what does that mean? That means Satan, the devil, isn't everywhere. And he's not everywhere all the time. Now, God is. God is omnipresent. That means that God is present everywhere and all the time. Ain't you glad for that? That means that because I belong to Him, I'm His. If you're saved, you're His. And He's with you always. Said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never part you, but He'd be there always. In other words, everywhere you go and everything you do, the Lord promised, God promised that He'd be there with you. Ain't that a wonderful thing? Ain't you glad it's that way? Satan can't be that. Now these people rise up, we got these young people, and they're saying, yeah, they're just going to be Satan worshipers, and one day they're going to go to hell, and they're going to have a great big party. I'm telling you, there ain't no partying in hell. Hell's an awful, awful place where all that they is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Complaining and murmuring because that person that's next to you, and you don't want him to be there. Amen? Ain't going to be no friends in hell. You can forget that. It's going to be an awful, awful place where fire and brimstone and heat. Amen. I don't like heat. I'll just be honest. Amen. Yeah, you can have summer. I'll take fall and spring and fall. I don't even mind winter, praise God. I can throw on another layer and keep it going. But I do not like the heat. It just cooks me. Can't get away from it. You can't shed off but so much and be decent. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now a lot of us, hey listen, let me just tell you, a lot of people tried, even Christians tried. We try to shed off enough, praise God, to get cool. But I'm telling you, there's a place where God says it's inappropriate. See, we're supposed to keep our bodies covered up. When we go out here in the world, now what you do inside your house, that's up to you. But when you go out in the world, now why I'm going this way this morning, but I'm just trying to mind the Lord. He said, when you go out of your house, praise God, He said, you ought to be covered up. Your flesh ought to be covered. You ought to be exposing your shoulders and your breast and your body and your legs. Amen? Come on now. Maybe God's trying to get our attention because summertime's coming up. They said, I believe Tuesday it's supposed to get up to 80 degrees again. Amen. Monday, tomorrow. Amen. See, he said, we need to stay covered up. So you can can wear loose fitting clothing so you can stay cooler, but you ought to cover your body. I told you before, the Bible says anything showing of the thigh is nakedness in the eyes of God. Now the thigh runs from the bottom of your buttocks down to the back of your knee. Amen. And if we go to exposing that, then God says, you're standing before the world naked. You say, well, preacher, what difference does that make? Because it causes people to lust. Amen. Causes people to lust. You say, well, why are we getting on? Because that's what Judas Iscariot had in his heart. He had a lust for the things of this world. He run to the worldly things, praise God, instead of staying with Jesus. Amen. I tell you, we need to decide that we're just going to stay with Jesus. Amen. I just want to be on His side. I don't want to get out there kind of running out on the edge of the fence, praise God, when Jesus comes. I want to be found solidly on His side. Amen. Rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting Him to meet my needs. So we see Satan was using this available disciple. Amen. He was tempting him with the things of this world. And we see Judas Iscariot, the Bible said shows us that he was a covetous man. And it says this about him, said he went his own way. We better be careful about going our own way. We better lock in there and go the Jesus way, the Godward way, the right way, the righteous way, to walk and talk, praise God, according to the will of God. Amen. Our way will your way, my way, our way will mess us up. It'll get us in the wrong way. Amen. That's what he did. He went his own way. Amen. So he was a professing disciple, but he began to communicate with the world. Hello? Now, there's a good way to communicate with the world, but he wasn't communicating with the world in a good way. He was communing in the world, praise God, communicating with the world in a negative way. That was against God. Amen. Against the things as God had predetermined. He's communicating and communing with the world. And he made himself the enemies of God glad. So his actions made the very enemies of God. They were tickled to death. And that one of his was drifting over to their side. See, the devil liked nothing more than to pull us all over to his side. Amen. Are you listening to me this morning? The devil is out. He says, every time that he comes by and he tempts you, he tempts your flesh, and your flesh is like mine, it's weak. You better be careful where you go. You better be careful what you look at. You better be careful where you hang out, because the devil will meet you there and he'll tempt you. Amen? Amen. Amen. He'll tempt you. He'll draw you away from God and godliness. He'll draw you away from that chasteness, that purity that God would have you to be as a child of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now listen to me. That's what happened. That's what happened to Judas. And he seen that it made that religious crowd happy, so he said, boy, I must be doing something good. Hey, listen, I'd rather do something than bring a smile to my Savior, hadn't you? To my Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. But he was doing things that made his enemies glad. And he coveted, and the bad part was he coveted money. Now, money ain't a bad thing. We all have to have it to pay our bills. That's how we work financially. But he said the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not money that's the root of all evil. It's when we love money. I hear it all the time. People say, well, preacher, I can't come to church on Sunday because I got to work an extra shift. Make more money. Bible says that you, in Zechariah, I believe it was, he said, amen, that they work and make more money than they, or Hosea said, put it in a bag with holes in it. Amen. If we don't do things as unto the Lord, praise God, you might as well just throw it in the trash. But he said, if we'll be mindful of the Lord. But Judas Iscariot, he coveted money. He wanted that money, that almighty dollar. And look what it got him. Amen. Look where he ended up. He wanted the things of this world more than the things of God. So what did he do? He made a covenant with the world. Amen? He made a covenant with the world. If we ain't careful, we'll do the same thing. We'll make a covenant with the world, praise God, and the things that's therein. I was talking to somebody before church, we all have a whole lot more stuff than we need. We go out, the Lord blesses what we need, and then we go out and get those things that we want. Until after a while it comes that you've got so much stuff that you don't even have place to put it. Amen. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen. You got stuff piled everywhere. You may use it one time, but then you don't have no place for your stuff. Well, what we're doing, we're getting too much stuff. Amen. Just getting too much stuff. We're coveting with the world for stuff. Instead of just trusting God in His promises to provide what we need. So we see this man, praise God. You ladies don't be poking your husbands. Amen. Amen. We all do. Every one of us. Hey, you know what the problem? We've been so blessed in the United States of America that we've taken it for granted. We have absolutely taken. We forgot how to be thankful. We forgot how to appreciate what we do. That's a message for tonight. I won't get that. Amen. You come back tonight, we'll share that one with you. Pray how we ought to be thankful, praise God, because how good God's been to us, how big God has been for us. How He loved us enough that He sent His only begotten Son. That ought to be all that we need. Amen? Because that's sufficient. Amen? Sufficient to meet all our needs. So we see this man that he coveted and gave, that they were glad and coveted to give him money. And said he promised. We better be careful when we start making promises to the world. Amen? See, the world can't help us fulfill those promises. But the promises that God has made to us, He will fulfill. He can't, because He can't lie. He will fulfill His promise to help us if He will. So we see the Passover, amen, and we see the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a type of the Redeemer. That's what the Passover means. He, in other words, He is our Lamb, mine and yours. That Lamb, praise God, is slain from the foundation of the world. In other words, Jesus Christ Himself, the Bible says, He knew that He would have to die for your sins and mine, but yet, praise God, He went ahead and He formed the world and the things therein and put us there and put us in the garden, told us how to live and how to act and how to react, and we messed that up. There's so many things that God says, do this and do that. I was talking to somebody a while ago about something, and they said, well, the Bible really doesn't say not to do that. But there's a whole lot of times when the things that the Bible says that doesn't say is things that we ought to leave alone. Amen? If God tells you a specific way to do something, then that's the way you ought to do it. Because God don't change His mind. See, we got this thing in our mind, praise God, that God's constantly changing His mind. He doesn't change His mind. When He gives us specific directions in the Word of God, praise God, that's the directions that we are to follow. Because He said, when we go out on a tangent, go out on our own, praise God, it's an abomination to God. It makes Him sick. Amen? And we do it all the time. Praise God. We choose to. And God ain't in that. But He said that He is that offering, that Passover offering. The Bible says it's a lamb, must be a lamb without spot or blemish. Back over in Exodus chapter number 12. Back over in Exodus chapter number 12, in verse number 5. Now he says, a lamb, verse 3, to them every man a lamb, and according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Verse number 4 says, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him be him his neighbors next unto his house, take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating, that you make your count for the lamb. But in verse number 5, he says this, your lamb, that one that's chosen, that one that's right, that one that's approved, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and you shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats. So he said, what we have to do is have to take that sacrificial lamb. that lamb that's without blemish and without spot. And he said that it's taken out and it's put up for 4 days. And for 4 days we evaluate that lamb. We look at that lamb. We inspect that lamb. Because it has to be spotless. It has to be blemishless. Amen. Praise God. That's why it's put up 4 days. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ and His public life. Praise God. And the hostile scrutiny that He went through while He was here. Amen. Jesus went through some hostile scrutiny here on earth. For your sins and mine. He that knew no sin. Praise God. That He might prove His holiness. That He was worthy to be that lamb that was sacrificed for me and you. In John chapter number 8. In John chapter number 8. In verse number 46. Look what He says. John chapter number 8 and verse 46. He said, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Jesus asked him straight out. He said, hey, which one of you can show me my sin? Because they're saying, well, he ain't nothing but an old sinner. That's why he's healing on the Sabbath. That's why he's doing things contrary to what we think it ought to be. I'm telling you, we better get our thinking contrary to, praise God, lined up what God's thinking ought to be. Amen? He says, which of you convinceth me of sin? Said, which one of you can point out my sin? Which one of you can show me a sinner? Amen. Well, he could. If it's on opposite football, he could point at every one of us. Say, you've sinned. The Bible said we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. But there was no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, which one of you can show me a fault? Which one of you can show me sin? Which one can show me something that I've done or I've said that's wrong? Can any of us say that today? Come on, be honest. Can any of us say that today? I mean, we could probably sit here and pick each other apart all day long, couldn't we? Amen. Amen. We could pick each other apart. We could pick each other to pieces, just like an old chicken when you throw a fresh one in the hen house. Praise God! Hey, if you don't watch them, you don't separate them. They'll pick each other apart. That's what we could do. But Jesus said, which one of yous? Amen. Which one of you can convince me of sin? Which one of you can show me the wrong that I've done? But then he said, and if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? If the Bible is the Word of God, and this, if you've got a Bible with red writing in it, you know what that means? That means it's the words of Christ. That this is what Jesus said. Amen. Praise God. I won't say He said it, and I believe every one of them. Every word in, I believe Jesus said, and I believe it, don't you? Amen. But he said they were some hostile people, praise God. He went under hostile scrutiny for his life. And he said, hey, listen, I'll tell you the truth. He said, I ain't told you no lies, praise God. He said, if I've told you the truth, he said, why don't you believe me? If this word, if the red writing in here is truth, why don't we believe it? Come on now. Why don't we believe it? Why don't we listen? Why don't we adhere to what God says? He said, there's no wrong in him. In John chapter 18, verse 38, he went up before Pilate. Amen. He was persecuted. He was scrutinized in every aspect of his life. Pilate scrutinized him. Then he seemed to Herod. Herod scrutinized his life. He looked at everything he had ever done or ever said. They couldn't find nothing in him. And Pilate would say this. He said, I find in him no fault at all. Pilate said, hey, listen, we've looked him, we've went through every aspect of everything he's ever done or said, and we cannot find a fault in this man. I wonder what people could say about me and you. that feller, he tells whoppers, and that feller, he's lied to me, and that feller, he's done this, and he's done that, and boy, they could make a list and go on for 3 days. It's me and you. But he said, I find no fault in this man. I find in him no fault at all. So I can't find nothing wrong with Jesus. I won't say this morning equivocally, I cannot find, Brother Mike, nothing wrong with Jesus. Amen. I've looked at him, I've searched him, I've read him. I can find nothing wrong with my Savior. He's perfect in every way. I mean, he was tested, he was tried. But then we know the Bible tells us back over in Exodus chapter 12 that Jesus, after he was thus tested this way, he must be slain. The lamb, after it's tested, after it's put up, it must be slain. We see that in Exodus chapter 12, verse number 6. He said, you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. So the 10th to the 14th day, 4 days, you keep it up, you look at it, you watch it. He said, on the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Amen? So we see it taken, it's put up. And Jesus tells this in John chapter number 12, verse 24. He says, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Jesus didn't want to abide alone. He said, but if it die, it bringeth forth, watch this, much fruit. Amen? You take that kernel of corn, it didn't sit in a drawer in the house for years and years and years, and it abideth all by itself. But you take that kernel of corn and you put it in the ground, and it, praise God, and that thing begins to get the things of the world and get the light and the nutrients and get the moisture that it needs, and it begins to sprout and to spring up. It dies out, praise God. It's dead. It's nothing. There's no life in it. But praise be to God, that new life comes from that that's dead. We were dead in trespasses and sin, but through Jesus Christ, we're made alive, praise the Lord. God Almighty Himself moved upon our hearts, moved upon our lives. For He abideth alone, lest it die. But said it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Amen? I wonder how our fruitfulness is. Jesus was magnificent. He brought forth fruit, praise God. Hey, listen, on the day of Pentecost, there was over 3,000 souls saved. Praise the Lord. He's still in the soul-saving business. But what has to happen? The blood. This lamb was slain, praise God. It was put up, it was watched, it was made sure, it was perfect, and it was slain. Amen? But the blood's got to be applied. It must be applied. Look at verse number 7, Exodus chapter 12. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Amen? In order to have salvation, praise God, the blood has to be applied. Praise God. It has to be taken. In other words, what's saying? It has to be a personal thing. That blood has to be applied to your life and my life. We have to believe that Lord Jesus Christ not only died and shed His blood for you and me, but praise God that it's a personal thing. And we've got to accept that blood that was shed on Calvary. We've got to accept it personally in order to be safe within the inside of the Lord Jesus Christ so that death. That death that comes down upon us, it'll pass over us. Safe in the Lord Jesus Christ, safe inside the blood. Praise His name. In John chapter 3 and verse 36, Jesus says this, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Ain't you glad it doesn't say may have someday? Come on. Amen. That's not what it says. He that believeth on the Son. That's Jesus, by the way. Not talking about that fireball in the sky. That's an amazing thing within itself, but that's a message for another day. Amen. He that believeth on the Son, the Jesus, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God, watch this, abideth on him. Amen. The wrath of God abideth on him. Those who? Those unbelievers, those that don't believe on Lord Jesus Christ. What happens, praise God, is one day we pass and we expire from this world and we end up in hell under the wrath of God. You say, well, why would God send anybody to hell? He doesn't. He allows us to go in our own pernicious ways when we continue in unbelief. When we continue not to believe on Jesus Christ, He is our ever-present help. He is our salvation. He needs to become our Lord and our Savior. He needs to become our Master Shepherd that leads us along the way in life. Without Him, we can do nothing. He told us that. And I believe it. But Paul said through Christ Jesus, he said all things are possible. Amen. To them that believe. Praise His name. I'm glad it's that way. But the blood must be applied. He gives us this effort, this reference in Exodus so we can carry it. And it carries it all the way through. He said without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no getting away from sin without the shedding of blood. And Jesus was that perfect, spotless sacrifice. Praise His holy name. The one that would die, that He would be that Passover lamb that would shed His blood for me and you. Praise God. So the blood must be applied. Amen. But the blood applied of itself, praise God, is sufficient. There's nothing that needs to be added to the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Bible says it's not of works lest any man should boast. But what it means is there's perfect protection from judgment in the Lord Jesus Christ. He offers that perfect protection from judgment. He gives us that safety net, praise God. Gives us that way out of this old world. He says in verse 8, He said, they shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Now the bitter herbs represent the hardships of bondage in Egypt. Amen. Those bitter herbs represent the wickedness and the vile things of this world that we endure. Praise God. He said, but we'll come out from under through Jesus Christ, through that shed blood and Calvary, and we come out victorious, shouting the praises all the way to the house. Amen. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. But we said, through the blood that's been applied. See, they took that blood of that sacrifice in Egypt and they put it on the doorpost and on the lintel. It's a representation of that cross of Calvary, praise God, where Jesus died for the sins of the world. And when that death angel went through and it swept through Egypt, and it swept through all the land, and the firstborn of the firstborn of Pharaoh died, the firstborn of the cattle and the horses and the asses, they died that night. All those firstborn, but over, praise God, where Israel was hanging out, and the blood had been applied. There was no death, but there was life, praise God, inside. Praise God, inside of the blood, praise God, is life, and life in abundance. Amen. Praise God, I'm glad I'm alive today. Hey, we may sit here, David, you may feel like you're dead. We may act like we're dead. But if you're a child of God, praise God, you ought to be alive and praising the Lord because you're alive in Him. The blood has been applied. Praise God. Yeah, sure, one day that old death angel may sweep by where you are. You may go out of here. But let me tell you, when your time is expired, you'll be plucked out of here to go home to be with the Lord. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to die and go to hell. I'm glad I don't have to die and go to the grave. You say, preacher, someday they'll take you out here and bury you in a cemetery. So this old clay, body of clay, they will. But that soul and spirit that lives inside me, that lives and breathes and has my being, that helps me to know and trust in my Savior, praise God, will be taken out. He said, I'll not see death. Amen. Amen. This old body will go back to the grave. Amen. Praise God, to the dust from which it come. Praise God, this old, my soul, my spirit's going to go be with the Lord, be with Him, and so shall I ever be with the Lord. Amen. Praise God. One day they'll call that glorified body, they'll shout in a trump, and that body will come out, and it'll be reunited with soul and spirit in a body likened to the Lord. Amen. A body of flesh and bone. And the body says the life of the blood, life of the body is in the blood. But it said, Jesus said, He shed His blood. You say, well, how can you live without the blood, praise God? You live with Jesus Christ as your Savior. He is that breath of life, praise God, that lives in us. We don't need this fleshly presence, praise God. We just need that Godward presence, the righteousness of a Savior. Bless His name. Amen. I'm glad it's that way, ain't you? Amen. Boy, that makes all the difference. It gives us the blessed hope that we need in Christ our Savior. In verse number 13, he says this. He said, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. You might even say this old flesh in which we live in. It's a house of God. Hello? Now, this building is where we come to worship Him in spirit and truth, right? Amen. Amen. Can I be a witness? Amen. Amen. But this house of clay is where He lives, where He wants to live, where He wants to dwell. Amen. He said, blood to be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Praise God. We've got a reprieve from the Lord. He said, this is a memorial. Praise God. Redemption by the blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of that precious Lamb that was shed from the foundation of the world. That blood that was shed for me, praise God. What is the Passover? It's a celebration of deliverance, because the deliverer has come, and His name is Jesus. Do you know Him this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you met Him? Amen. Have you met Him? Boy, old Saul of Tarsus, he was a very religious man. Brought up under the sect of the Pharisees, knew the law and the traditions by heart. Could rattle them off, amen, had memorized them. But the Lord met him one day on the road to Damascus with letters in his hand from the synagogues to go up and purchase, to persecute the children of God and the Lord Jesus Himself. You remember what happened to Saul? In the middle of the day, praise God, he was blinded by a bright light, and it wasn't the S-U-N, it was the S-O-N. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, it ain't them saints of God. It ain't them my children that you're persecuting. He said, you're persecuting me. He said, you're putting me down. He said, they're goading you. They're prodding you on to do it. But he said, you know better. And old Saul fell down, praise God. And he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? He said, Lord, give me a different direction and I'll go that way. Of course, you know the story. Saul of Tarsus was blind, and God sent him up the straight street. That's where God sends us all to straighten us out. Amen. Sends us up the straight street. And he said, Ananias, go up there and talk to Saul. He, of course, changed his name to Paul. He said, tell him that I got mighty things for him to do. Then when his eyes are opened, Paul was, had bad eye problems. I don't know if he had them before, but he had them after. That's why Dr. Luke would lead him around by his hand. But there was something happened on the road to Damascus that changed Saul's life forever, and he became Brother Paul. Amen. And he began a ministry to the people. And all he could keep repeating, if you'll study Paul, you'll look at his right, all he could keep repeating was, boy, on the road today was a bright light, and said, it was my Savior. It was Jesus. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. Come touch my heart. And I fell down. I said, Lord, what would you have me do? And boy, He just filled me full. Amen. Glory to God. Hey, He loaded up old Paul's cart. Paul had more to do than he could ever get done in one lifetime. Praise the Lord. Because of that pastor, because of that blood, because of that celebration of deliverance. See, Paul got that too. He got deliverance from the Lord. Praise God. And instead of just being doing this thing as a job, if you will, he done this thing because he loved Jesus. And he wanted to see other people love Jesus too. Amen. That's what the Passover is all about. It's representing what took place in Exodus. It's the blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Bless His holy name. And he said, Jesus said, I offer up this Passover. And he said that this bread and this cup, he said, I'm not going to participate in the fruit of vine again till I partake of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Amen. He said, the next time the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to partake of this cup is when I partake of it with you in heaven. Bless His holy name. What a blessing that's going to be. Amen. The Passover, it was a deliverance. And it was a deliverance for me and for you. Praise the holy name. Have you seen the deliverance? Have you been saved today? You know that you're saved. You know that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Question you have to ask yourself, if I die today, where would I spend eternity? Where would I spend eternity?
See, the Passover, that was all for you. That lamb, that blood that was shed was all for you. See, the Pharisees, they thought they could live by the law, that the law would save them. But the law won't say, the law was just a schoolmaster, just to point us and show us that there's so many things that we couldn't do within ourselves. Listen, if you're trying to be good enough to get to heaven, you're going to fail. But if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, invite Him and let Him be the Lord of your life, you can succeed, you will succeed. Because He's promised He'll be there to help you. Today, as we look at the Passover, and we're heading towards Easter next week, next Sunday, wouldn't it be a good day just to come to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, you know what? I believe what You did for me. I believe in that blood that was shed on Calvary for me. I believe that You were that sacrificial lamb, that one that was tested and tried and was found perfect in every way. And Lord, I want You to be my Savior, because You're the only one that can be. You're the only thing that's sufficient to meet my needs every day. To help me in my spirit, in my attitude, in my relationships. You're the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can. Without Him, you will fail. We will fail. Amen.